This is Michael Edward Miller for WUTC. The Ensemble Theater of Chattanooga is putting on a dramatization of the novel The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. It opens in Barking Legs Theater on Friday, May 18th. WUTC's Richard Winham is speaking with the director, Gary Posey, as well as two members of the cast, Cashoon Parks and Norman Cassie. They all say the play presents a unique set of challenges.
The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime is an award-winning mystery. It was written by an English author, Mark Haddon, published in 2003, interestingly, in two editions, one for adults and one for children. It was an immediate success, both in the UK and here in America, where it went to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. It's a story told from the point of view of Christopher Boone, a 15-year-old boy who describes himself as, quote, a mathematician with some behavioural difficulties. But most readers, probably influenced by the publisher's blurb on the jacket of the book, have assumed Christopher is on the autism spectrum, despite the author's assertion that it's not a book about autism. In fact, he said, if anything, it's a novel about difference, about being an outsider, about seeing the world in a surprising and revealing way. But despite his protestations, many experts in Asperger's syndrome and autism spectrum disorder have cited the book as an unrivaled fictional depiction of the inner workings of an autistic teenage boy. It's a narrative novel told through the eyes of a 15-year-old boy. Works great as a book, but a bit of a challenge to translate it to a play. It was written for the stage by a playwright called Simon Stevens. It premiered in London in August of 2012 and was an immediate hit. According to Wikipedia, the play involves a significant reworking of the source material. Rather than present the story as a first-person narrative, the play is presented as a reading of Boone's own writing, read aloud in segments by his teacher, Siobhan. The result is that the play is presented as a kind of play within a play.
Even the format and the structure of this play is so unique.
This is Gary Posey, the play's director.
You know, I mean, we'll start in present time, then we'll be inside this story that they're creating, this play that they're creating in the school, and then we're going into real time with the relationships between his parents and how that developed, and then we jump out of this and we jump back. And again, I'm like, I mean, I guess that's intentional because that's – and from the people that I've talked to, that's kind of how, you know, someone on the spectrum's mind works. It doesn't – work linearly. It's firing in all different kinds of directions. And so I'm like, okay, we've got to – I don't know anything about that, you know, obviously. But, I mean, I do know about, you know, being ADD, I suppose, you know. but, you know, like I have to – you know, I have to understand the format. And then I have to communicate the format to the cast so that the cast eventually understands the format. And that's been a struggle too because it doesn't work in the way that – plays typically work, you know. I mean, even last night after rehearsal, I gave a note, you know, it's like, you know, plays have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and we have 52 scenes, and there are 52 beginnings, 52 middles, and 52 ends. And then there's one giant one that encompasses all of that. And somehow we've got to find the arc through all of those 52 scenes, you know, and within each scene. And sometimes, you know, characters get three or four lines, and then we're into the next scene, you know. And so that's such a quick time for an actor to communicate everything that's got to be communicated. And so it's just, you know, and at the end of the day, you're like, you know, is the story clear? You know, are my choices, are the choices that we've made, I don't believe in right and wrong when it comes to this, but, you know, do they make the most sense?
Christopher takes everything literal. Everything.
This is Cashoon Park. She plays Siobhan. She is Christopher's mentor at school. She does what she can to try to help him cope with the world.
I think she respects his differences, but she has to make sure that he understands how to behave because the social thing is one of the largest, you know, things that you see. So how to behave in the world. And he has to mimic that because a lot of times people who are on the spectrum, they have a hard time actually being able to have a true feeling that way. So he has to mimic what he sees in order to be normal. And I'm putting that in quotations.
What time is it?
7 minutes past 2 in the morning.
I can't sleep.
It's because you're scared of Mr. Shiz. You're being silly.
There's nobody about. You can hear the traffic.
What cars are there?
A Fiesta, a Peugeot, a Ford Granada, a Mini Cooper.
What colors are they?
I can't tell. I can only see orange and black, and mixtures of orange and black.
Look at the things people have in their front garden.
Oh, yes. Is that an elf?
It's a gnome. And a teddy bear. And a little pond. Look.
And an oven. I like looking up at the sky.
Me too.
When you look at the sky at night, you know you are looking at stars which are hundreds and thousands of light years away from you. And some of the stars don't exist anymore because their light has taken so long to get to us that they are already dead, or they have exploded and collapsed into red dwarfs. And that makes you seem very small. And if you have difficult things in your life, it is nice to think that they are what is called negligible, which means they are so small that you don't have to take them into account when you are calculating something. I can't see any stars here.
No.
It's because of all the light pollution in London. All the light from the street lights and car headlights and floodlights and the lights in the building reflecting off tiny particles in the atmosphere, and they get in the way of the light from the stars.
I have to go.
Don't.
I have to.
Siobhan! Siobhan, where are you? Siobhan!
For Kashun, who has a son on the autism spectrum herself, working on the play has had, as you might expect, a deep resonance.
I think this show is, it gives you a glimpse inside of the head of someone who you may have never been inside of their head. And I think you're right. It just talks about how we all function. I mean, there's information out there to say maybe they're on a higher spectrum than we are. Maybe they're the normal ones now and we are not, because we're able to focus so much, you know, on one thing and get and just do one thing at a time, where we live in a world where, you know, we do 50 things at one time. But I just think that if they get the opportunity just to see inside of the head of someone who may not be like you and walk away and just understand that everything isn't as it seems when you just kind of look at it for face value.
For Norman Cassie, playing Christopher has been an ongoing challenge.
It's been a process of just figuring it out day by day. I don't think there's a right or wrong way to get into it, because the spectrum is so vast and wide that there's, you know, not one specific characteristic of autism or one person that's like another person on the spectrum. So I'd like to think that we've taken all sorts of characteristics from different people on the spectrum, different sides of the spectrum, and combined them into, you know, who Christopher is. You know, he has a fascinating artistic side and a love for music and drumming, and also for math and outer space and animals as well.
One of the ladies that I've been talking with over at the Autism Center, she and I have really had some really good conversations about, you know, what it's like to work with these children. And she works with the children. And through that process, it's been fascinating for me, because I start to see that, you know, the parents are important to kids. I mean, you know, having those and you know, in autistic families, it's very typical, or families with autistic children, it's very typical for the marriages to break up, because the stress of dealing with the affects of the disorder or whatever, that causes a lot of tension. And so in this relationship, you know, Norman and or Christopher ends up staying with his father, which is also unique, because it's typical that they stay with their mother. The father is typically the ones that leave. I mean, this is the statistics show that. I mean, you know, statistics are what they are. So, but the relationship between Kashan, or Siobhan, rather, her character, and Christopher, and how they are able to pull from the child the ability to communicate, the ability to behave in the world the way that is not right or wrong, but it makes them more comfortable, right. You know, and how. And so one of the things that, you know, I guess became very important to me early on was showing, you know, how Christopher has progressed. You know, where did he start when he started seeing Siobhan? and where is he now, and how can we objectively, theatrically show that? And so every, you know, every rehearsal is like, this is another moment where we can show growth. And, you know, and that's part of why I wish that we could rehearse another 3 or 4 weeks and not even have to perform it at this point, you know, because the discovery of, you know, this is where you are and this is where, I mean, we added a prop last night to rehearsal, and the two of them, it was like they'd had the prop the entire time, you know, and you saw like story, you saw in a moment with lines that they've been delivering for, you know, the last 4 weeks, there's something developing like, oh, that's what the story's about. That, to me, that's about a one person helping another person live in the world, you know, and the relationship here is therapist to child with autism, but it could be anything, you know, it could be husband, wife, it could be, you know, partners or business, whatever, you know, but just having the compassion and the patience and the willingness to allow someone to express themselves, but control that expression in a way that doesn't endanger anybody, whether it's emotionally or physically or whatever. And I think, so to me, that's what the story becomes about. And you know, I guess having that patience is part of what I'm experiencing, you know?
Yeah. It's like having a wild animal and trying to teach it to function in a domesticated environment.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like, you know.
Yeah. Christopher has a particularly difficult relationship with his father because he's less than straight with him about almost everything Christopher's concerned about, from the disappearance of his mother to the neighbor's dog he found in the yard stabbed with a fork.
What is this? It's a book I'm writing.
Is this true? Did you speak to Mrs. Alexander?
Yes.
Jesus, Christopher, how stupid are you? What did I tell you, Christopher?
Not to mention Mr. Shears' name in our house, and not to go asking Mrs. Shears or anybody about who killed that bloody dog, and not to go trespassing on other people's gardens, and to stop this ridiculous bloody detective game. Except I haven't done any of those things. I just asked Mrs. Alexander about Mr. Shears because I was doing chatting.
Don't give me that bollocks. You knew exactly what you were doing. I've read the book, remember? What else did I say?
I don't know.
Come on, memory man. Not to go around sticking your nose into other people's business. And what do? You go around sticking your nose into other people's business. You go around digging up the past with every Tom, Dick and Harry that you bump into. What am I going to do with you, Christopher?
I think one of the things in retrospect now with Curious is that, you know, I knew what I wanted to say, and had I just gone with that in the beginning, I might be better. But having branched out and asked people about autism, done whatever, a little bit of research, or I think that that has just clouded my creativities to a degree where, you know, in the beginning especially, I was making decisions because I thought that that was what had to be done, as opposed to making decisions because I was telling a story that I wanted to tell.
Yeah, to be honest, that was the impression I had, that you kind of got lost in the weeds because, as I said before, you've entered a world you don't understand.
Right. But maybe
that's not
too
such a bad thing, because that's what the play is about.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's about trying to make sense of the world through the eyes of somebody for whom most of the time it doesn't make sense.
And that's what directing is. I mean, you come to see a play, you're seeing the play through the eyes of the person who arranged it all, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, and I do that all the time. You know, I say, see the world through my eyes. That's what I do when I direct. I don't know why it's just so, and maybe it's not a bad thing, or it's not a difficult thing, or it's not a struggle at all. It's just part of what needs to be happening. It's part of the process, and, you know, and I
think so.
Yeah.
I think so. You know, in that sense, you are an audience surrogate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the audience is going to have to do the same thing. What is this? What's going on? You know, this is weird.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what you're supposed to think, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, because if you were seeing the, if you're seeing it, I mean, if you stepped into the eyes of Christopher, it would not be what you would normally expect.
They've turned the telescope around.
Yeah, exactly.
Christopher, I'm sorry. Your mother's died. She had a heart attack. Wasn't expected.
What kind of heart attack?
I don't know what kind of heart attack. Now isn't the moment, Christopher, to be asking questions like that.
It was probably an aneurysm.
I'm sorry, Christopher. I'm really sorry.
You know, we've had people come in to rehearse. I have a couple of friends, one who's spent the last couple of years in London, and she's on the spectrum, and another one who works with children on the spectrum as a therapist, you know, a speech therapist, pathologist, and they both came in and watched the rehearsal using, you know, I just said, I don't want you to critique the techniques of it, you know, the theater part, the acting part, that's whatever. I just need to know if what you're seeing sort of, you know, makes sense in the world that you have experienced with individuals on the spectrum or being on the spectrum. And both of them were really impressed.
The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime opens in Barking Legs Theatre on Dodds Avenue on Friday evening at 7:30. Details are on the website, EnsembleTheatreOfChattanooga.com. For WUTC's Around and About Chattanooga, I'm Richard Winham.